I ask per the advice of Mr. Axelrod. Mr. Axelrod.
Axelrod.
Ask per his advice. He advised me very wisely so that I should spend some time learning Rabbi Riviat Sefer. So in reference to the Lach of Kosher, so there's an enormous amount of material on each of the Lama tests. As you know, we're going through over here very quickly the Lama tests and the Lachis. And the Kitzur is just touching upon things that were important in his day, primary things, but maybe to elaborate a little bit, I was spending a few minutes yesterday studying some of the practical applications of Kosher, in addition to what we discussed yesterday about tying shoelaces. So first, let's discuss the most common thing, tying your shoelaces. So we mentioned this yesterday. Page Kuf Yud Tes. We're up to Kuf Yud we have to one Shi'odim Mitzirim Halacha, so page Kuf Yud Tes. Before we get back to the page, we want to review some modern questions, modern day halachas. Okay, tying shoelaces. So we mentioned yesterday that the ideal way to tie your shoelace is a single knot, and on top of the single knot is a bow. I asked you, I didn't get a clear answer, what about tying a double bow, a single knot, and then a bow, and then another bow? So when Rabbi Riviat, he says categorically it is usur. And he explains the reason why it's usur, because the only reason why you're allowed to tie a single knot and then a bow is because if you want to undo it, all you got to do is pull. You just pull once and it comes apart. If you make a double bow, even though the foundation of the knot is weak, because it's only a single knot, and then a bow, and then another bow, and another bow, once you make a double knot using a bow on top of a bow, it's no longer possible for you to pull one cord and for it to completely come out. You have to actually undo the knot. So the way he defines the knot, a kesher shel kayama, in his definition, according to Rabbi Riviat, is you have to be able to pull one string and it will come apart. If you can pull one string and it will come apart without actually getting your hands dirty by undoing the actual knot, that automatically, when it comes to the number moment, that automatically puts in the category of a kesher that's not shel kayama and is mutter, provided, as we discussed yesterday, provided that you have intent to undo it within 24 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is his maskan. His maskan is you cannot make a double bow on top of a single knot. Even though many people, I know myself, that during the week, I would not, that's the way I tie my shoes, because I find that if I just tie a single knot and then make a bow, it comes apart. So I'm always in the habit of tying a single knot and doing a double bow. Yeah? No, as long as you start off with a bow, not a single knot. If you start off with a bow on the very bottom and make another bow, that is fine, because in that situation, when you pull, it will come apart. Since the foundation is only a bow, it's not even a single knot, then it's not that instance is different. Now, one thing I want to point out, now again, I thought I wanted to explain this point from Rabbi Riviat Sefer. He very clearly says you cannot make a single knot and then a bow and another bow. Yet he does say that if you have a rope, okay, a thick, heavy rope, and you have a belt, and you want to make a double knot on your belt, and it's very, very thick, and your intent is to take out that double knot, and the double knot is loose, it's mutter. Even though double knot is osur, a double knot, generally, that's a kesher shel kayama. It's categorically also, even if you're planning on taking that within 24 hours, if the ropes are very, very thick and you only do it in a loose fashion, even a double knot is mutter. So the only thing that bothers me, which I'm leaving as a tzarechin, is why should it be that tying shoes with a double bow on top of a single knot with thick shoelaces should be usur when it's going to come out? It's not something which is, if you have, the shoelaces are semi-thick, even a double bow on top of a single knot is not going to last all that long. It's not very tight, and especially if you are planning to take it out within 24 hours, why should it be different than taking a robe and making a double knot with the belt? Okay,
well, so I think it's a bit obvious.
Because it's not a knot. Since it's thick, it's very thick, and
a shoe is very thick.
So I guess that's what you have to say. You have to say is that a shoelace relative to a thick belt on a heavy robe is still considered to be tight and permanent, and it is osur. Okay, here are some interesting things that he brings up. Some people have the custom, they tie their shoelaces, and they don't untie them. They slip their feet out. Anyone do that here? You put on your shoes, you tie your shoelaces. What? So then he says that if you are in that custom, you wake up Shabbos morning, you put on the shoelaces and you tie, and then later in the day you're not planning on untying, you're just going to slide your feet out, that can be a problem of kshira midrabanan. As we mentioned, anytime you make even a semi-permanent knot with the kavana that it should last more than 24 hours, it is a problem. Another example, making a necktie. Okay, a necktie. Is a necktie a malacha called kshir? The answer is no. Why is not? Because to undo it, you don't need to open up the knot. All you need to do is just to pull it out. That's the general rule of thumb. Just pulling out part of a knot, if the entire thing unravels, that is automatically puts it in the category of a knot, a kesher shel kayama. However, a slip knot. However, some people, especially children, you see this with children, is they don't undo it. They have a very big, long, the tie is long enough where you come home from shul and you just loosen the tie and you take it off your head and you don't completely undo it. And later in the day, you'll put it over your head. So that, he says, can be a problem. If a person makes a necktie and does not plan on undoing the knot, you're just going to slip it over your head and you're going to leave it like that for more than 20... What?
They don't leave it for more than 24 hours.
But if you're not leaving it, if you're going to plan eventually within 24 hours to open it, to completely undo it, then you put it away for next week. You'll wear a tie at Shabbos, and you're going to put it away for next week in the Chanan. But if you're not planning on doing it, you might leave it around for a couple of days until you get around, then that indeed can be a problem, even to make a necktie. Something that simple, if you're not planning on undoing it within 24 hours, that can be a problem of kesha.
Well, the Messiah says,
yeah,
even if he doesn't attempt, anybody could come along and do it. So, practically speaking, it's not the kesha shakayama. If somebody else would come along and want, I just undo the tie.
It doesn't matter what someone else. All depends upon what your kavana. These knots are not knots deraisa. They're also midrabanan. And when the rabbanan enacted these takanas, they gave you leeway. It all depends on your kavana. If you make a knot that's not permanent, and it's not a kesha of an uman, of a craftsman, it's a temporary knot, it's still also midrabanan if you plan on leaving it more than 24 hours. So we mentioned yesterday about the gartel on the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Riviat says that not everyone is machmer. Some are of the opinion that for a dvar mitzvah, something which dvar mitzvah you can make even a knot, a single knot with a bow, even if you're planning on leaving it more than 24 hours. I believe that he quotes many leniencies. Okay, another example. What about a balloon? Are you allowed to blow up balloons on Shabbos and tie them? Even to tie them in a slip knot. I'll take the balloon, a very big balloon, I'll tie in a slip knot. So the answer is no, because it's not the derech, ruba de ruba, it's not the derech olam to open up balloons. Make balloons. Well, no, there are certain balloons, if it's a real heavy, tight balloon, then you probably can, but also those knots are permanent knots. I'm talking about a slip knot. Not a knot with a real knot at the end. That would be us to take a string and to make a knot at the end.
You use a tie. According to the mandala that you can use a tie.
If you want to use a twist tie on the end of a balloon, okay, l'chora maybe. Maybe not. Okay, I have to go back and see what he says. Because he says that it's not the derech. He says balloons, the derech is a balloon you blow up and you leave the balloon knotted, closed, forever, until the balloon pops and goes in the garbage. Therefore, balloon, even a slip knot, is forbidden. You're not allowed to use the slip knot on Shabbos. Okay, we're going to have soon.
Blowing up a balloon with the shash of having the balloon, is that
no, that's a situation like Nikolai.
That's
sure.
By accident, it's not in your intent.
What, that it's going to pop? The balloon's going to pop? Not necessarily.
You don't want it to pop.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, but then you let it go.
Okay, the other shaila coming up soon is, this always happens every year, lulav. People have a question, you lulav, you dalad, minim. What happens if you forget to make the rings? Are you allowed to make the rings on Yom Tov? The answer is no. You're not allowed to make, but what you can do is you can take a piece of luluf that's already been detached from before, and just wrap it around. You can wrap it around and tuck in the loose ends. You can tuck in the loose ends, but you're not allowed to make a real ring. That is a form of kashira to make a real ring.
You're allowed to pull off a piece also?
No, I don't think so. You're not allowed to pull off a piece.
Especially if you're going to use it to wrap around.
You're not allowed to pull off a piece. You're not allowed to pull off a piece. No, you cannot tie it. No tying. Because it's meant to be tied. When you tie on the loose, even if you're going to do a temporary knot, it's meant to remain for the rest of Sukkot. When you take your Hadassim and Aravos and you tie it to the lulav, you're planning on leaving it there for more than 24 hours. So even a temporary knot is also when you plan to leave it more than 24 hours. So it is categorically also to take a Arava and make any type of permanent ring. The best you can do is just wrap it around and stick in the edges. Right, to take it, no, you're not allowed to make a bow. You're not allowed to make it because a bow is called a kesher. You're not allowed to make a bow with an arava around the hadassim and the aravos. Because making a bow is a kesher she'ena shel kayama, which is still osur, if you're planning on leaving it more than 24 hours. To make a kesher she'ena shel kayama is only mutter, provided you plan on opening it within 24 hours. If you plan on leaving it closed for more than 24 hours, it's also midrabanan. The derech is when you put together the hadassim and the aravos and the luluf, you're planning on leaving it closed for more than 24 hours, so even a temporary bow would be asur. The best you can do is to wrap it around. Okay? On Yom Tov itself, I'm talking about on Yom Tov itself. Before Yom Tov, you can do whatever you want. But you should do it in a permanent way. In fact, somehow you should actually make a real kesher. We're talking about when a person forgot. A person forgot to make the kesher, a person forgot to put together his dalad din before Yom Tov. So now it's Yom Tov. You have your lulav, you have your hadassim and the aravos, and you have the holder. So you can stick in very gently the lulav, the hadassim and the aravos, and you can put it onto the lulav. But you can take a piece of arava and make a ring, a regular ring that you would normally do, and put it onto the lulav. The best you can do is take a piece of arava and just wrap it around to keep it in place and stick the ends in itself. But don't make any type of bow. Don't take the arava and make a bow in any form. That would be usur. And certainly don't do anything more sophisticated by making a ring, because making a ring is also a form of kashira. Okay.
If you have it before, you make it before.
Yes, you make it before, you can slip it on. Yes, you can slip it on. Yes, you can slip it on. On Yom Tov too, if you made the ring before and the ring for, you can slip it on. But you can't make a ring for the very first time.
You can take a rubber band.
A rubber band is problematic. To put a rubber band around your Lulav and Eshrog, it has to be the min. The has to be from the min of the Lulav and Eshrog.
I've seen.
People do the rubber band, they use for Hashanis. Even that's a makbet to do these other things. Okay, there are other things which I'm not really familiar with. There are issues with a baby bib. Today everything is Velcro, so it's not okay anymore. But baby bibs and women, hair ribbon. This is no gay for young girls, for little girls. The parents like to dress up their children on Shabbos. They want to put on a bow. Okay, they put in these beautiful bows or these hair ribbons on Shabbos, and they have to tie it. So tying these things with a bow, where you plan on having, even though it's not a kashal kiyam, it's temporary, if you're planning on leaving this in more than 24 hours, is a problem.
What about a pony bow?
Oh, that's fine. That's only a clamp. That's like a clamp. The little elastic that's mutter. That's fine. That's like a rubber band. That's this is making a kesher, making a bow, taking an ornament and tying it into the here and tying it in a kesher. She'ena shel kayama. If the kavana is that it's going to remain in the here more than 24 hours, would be aser. And certainly if it's a kesher shel kayama, would be aser. Okay, they have other things about tichel. It talks about a woman who wears a tichel. So some women, they make a kesher, they make a bow. And they don't necessarily undo the bow until it comes apart. They just slip it on and slip it off. So that is also problematic. If a person makes a kesher even a kesher sheinu shel kayama, and you're not planning on removing the knot within 24 hours, that can be aser. If a person needs to make these type of bows, he has to have kavana that he will undo the bow within 24 hours. You cannot. Necktie, as we mentioned, a necktie, if you don't plan on undoing the tie within 24 hours, you're not allowed to make that knot. Some people, children, until they get in the habit of making a tie with zippers for the little church, clips and zippers. Or what about making a bow tie? Anyone go to a black tie wedding? Anyone know how to make the same exact shayla? You have to know that's also kesher she'ena shel kayama. Making a bow tie. Some people only wear bow ties on Shabbos. In Breuers, many people wear bow ties.
Yeah.
Okay.
The heter for making the knot on the shoe is the safety purpose. One of the reasons they give that it's a safety precaution, because if you trip on your laces, you could fall and hurt yourself.
So you can make a double. You can make a double.
No. So that's why some people want to postulate that. Okay. So since when I make a single knot, it comes out. I mean, those who want to are forced to give like a heter somehow. They say unless you make a double knot, the shoe could come undone, the lace, and maybe you'll trip on the lace. They go to those extremes.
But one other very important thing is tzitzis. This is very important. You're not allowed to tighten the knot on the tzitzis. On tzitzis, the second knot is a double knot. The first knot you can make, but it's not really going to do anything because it's going to come apart anyway in a few moments. But the second knot you're not allowed to make. You're not allowed to make it. Certainly, you're not allowed to tighten. There's another halacha. You're not allowed to tighten a pre-existing knot on Shabbos. That is also malacha deraisa of kesher. Okay, let's go over on the bottom. On chaf, page kuf yutes. On the bottom, ois chaf shnei kesher ayim b'shut marsham dim kosher kesher chaya mitchila me'erev Shabbos uveshabbos choisev yos. That's based on the case of tzitzis. Okay, if you have already before Shabbos began, you have one knot. The first knot already has been tied, and now on Shabbos I just want to make the second knot. So one can present an argument: I'm not making the full kesher to chayiv melacha d'oraisa of kashira. I have to make both knots, the first knot and the second knot. So if on Shabbos I discovered that the second knot of my talis has come out, all I'm making is the second knot. Maybe it should be mutter. No. Paskins that's mamish the melacha mederaisa. The melacha is defined by the gemar, is not defined by the haschala. For raya mecha kos of oisachas, the right to this is if you have already on a piece of paper one letter and you come on Shabbos and you write a second letter, even though normally in tibichayif or ksiva you need to write two letters. But if the second letter that you write is mashlim, a series, is mashlim, a word which needs two letters, you chayif for the melacha of ksiva on Shabbos. Vishlimu l'sefer or akhut achad, if you weave one chut. And one normally need to weave at least two chutim to be chayif from melacha of oreg. But if this chut that you're weaving is going to be the second of two and it's going to finish off the garment, that is enough to be chayif. So too, when it comes to kesher, even though kesher is two parts, there are two knots, making the second knot is enough to be chayif. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. Halacha mem vav. Kesher sha'ish sha'asun lasa kesher kezeh asun gam kein lehatir. Just like one is not allowed to make a kesher shalkayam, one is not allowed to untie a kesher shel kayama. Okay, one thing we left out, we really discussed yesterday very quickly, is the twist ties. The twist ties, Rabbi Riviat has a very long discussion, and he presents many opinions. One opinion is, it's mutter, there's no problem, do whatever you want. There's no limitation. A twist tie is not called a kesher. Just like if you take a rope and you turn it, you're not doing anything. Taking a twist tie by turning it, you're not doing anything. That is one opinion. Then there's another opinion. Then there's the opinion that says that it's taka osur, but it's not, but it's only osur to do it multiple times. To do it once is mutter. Just turning it once is fine. And then he presents a third opinion that says that even turning it once is begeder kesher, because it holds it in place. The best that you can do is you can just wind it around the bag. Okay, then he presents, if you buy bread in a supermarket. You don't see this so much in the bakeries, but if you buy bread, Wonder Bread, those who eat Paspalter, Wonder Bread, all these other brands of bread, they have a little piece of plastic. Arnold's Bread, they have a piece of plastic with a slip, a cut.
Yeah.
And that keeps the plastic closed tight. Mm. I have not yet seen a bakery that uses, anyone be find a bakery? So that is mut, that's perfectly fine. You can take the little piece of plastic from your Arnold's Bread, your Wonder Bread or whatever it is, and you can take that piece of plastic and you can use it on the Hamish Sat Mechala that you bought pass Yisrael, and you can use it to close the plastic. That is not the Geder Kesher. That is Mutul Lechatchila. There's no issue whatsoever. No issue whatsoever. Okay, that's, yeah.
Franzos, holy.
Franzos, yeah.
Zionist bread has a plastic.
Ah. And that's Pas Yisrael.
That's a hard pita.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay.
The challahs are by every way. They wrap the thing.
In what?
In
the twist ties.
No.
In a what? The little plastic thing with a slit in the middle?
Yeah, Goldberg,
where? Which bakery?
Goldberg. Little mini Chibali roll.
By Moshe's. The challahs are by every way.
Oh, yeah.
And they have
a plastic with a slit which keeps the plastic. That is 100% mutter. Okay, let's go to halacha mem vav. Kesher shasurim lasas kesher kazer asurim gam lahati. Whatever you're not allowed to close halacha, leave mail if you have a plastic bag, and you are of the opinion, you follow the custom when you don't use the twist ties, the same way you may not open the twist tie, you may not close the twist tie, you may not open the twist tie. So what then are you to do? You rip open the plastic in a destructive way. You rip open the plastic in a destructive way, that's what you can do. You likewise, if you have a plastic, if you have disposable cups or plates, what should you do? So you could rip it open. You could rip open the plastic in a destructive way in order to get to the plates Okay, let's go. Aloha mem zayin derech hachayin. Now we.
Is there when you have like these sandwich bags that slip into the groove one or the other, the
Ziplocs. No, Ziplocs is mutter. Ziplocs is mutter. You're not doing anything. That's not called a kesher. That's not. It's all. This is a new invention. What Chazal? It's only also what it says in Shulchan Aruch. There's no need to come up.
They didn't have twists sometimes.
So the Enochnami. That's why Rav Moshe says it's mutter. Enochnami. Rav Moshe says it's mutter because twist ties. What are you doing? Are you making a knot? Are you making a bow? Also, what? Because it remains closed. It remains closed as if you made a kesher. That's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. There's no need to come invent new isurim which did not exist. It's only also things that existed in the Mishkan. The Lama Tes Malachas come from the Mishkan, and the rules are very clearly defined in Masechet Shabbos and Shulchan Aruch. And just because you can achieve the same goal through some modern technique with new technology,
you had the reason for not making the knots is because of the fishing nets that they would make the knots to catch the kilozon to make in the Mishkan. So you would never make a fishing net with a twist tie. I mean, it's just
okay, but it's not. It's not
work. So the point is, what was used for the Mishkan is the.
What was used in the Mishkan?
Need or not.
Taking the Ziploc bags is not a kesher. It's not a kesher. It's not a kesher shel kayama. Okay, halacha. Okay, now we're going me'inyin le'inyin ba'isayinyin. We're now going to other halachas. Okay, we'll try to do more. Rabbi Riviat. It takes me a lot of time. I'm a slow reader. It's very dense. What?
4 volumes, 1,200 pages.
But every page is dense. Every page you have to. You gotta go very slowly and really appreciate and take it all in. It's not so easy for me. Let's go. Mem zayin derech hachayotim. Shekoidim shetoyfer mesabeged kiroi mecharbim es hachatichos betfiros miru vachos. Tailors, before they take a garment, a piece of cloth, and they shape it to the desired size, they connect multiple pieces of cloth and it's stitched together with thread. And then, at some point in time, they removed that thread. It was only meant to be temporary. I don't know the exact technique.
It's called basting.
It's called basting. It's a very loose
stitching.
It's called basting.
Basting. And it's only meant to be there temporarily. It's only meant there to hold the garment in place while they shape and they put the garment in the right position. After they have concluded fashioning the garment, achieving their desired result, then these stitches can be removed. They were only meant to be temporary. So the last thing that they do before they market, they sell the garment, before they give the garment back to the customer, is they take out these superfluous stitches, these stitches which were only there to be temporary. That is the gemar, the completion of the product. So it's makeh bepatish. Makeh bepatish is a form of binyan, and it is, if you get back the garment from the tailor on before Shabbos and he forgot to pull out these stitches, and you now want to take out these stitches, by taking out these stitches you're doing a malach of makeh bepatish. Begodim ho'asuyim omtam derech ha'chayotim shakoydim shatoifim esabegid koroi, before the garment is 100% mechabim es ha'chatichos betfiros miruvochos, white stitches. The achar kach mesirin es ha'chutin, they take out these stitches. They elu hatefiros vi osela hasirim b'shabbos because of makeh bepatish. Next,
why, for instance, why,
yeah,
it's all done and the slit in the back.
Yeah, so it would appear right. They forgot, right? So there's a hem. It would seem, yes, it would seem that would be makeh bepatish. Indeed, that's what it would seem. But you're not allowed to do this. Yeah, begodim
huasuyim.
You can wear it.
You
can wear it.
Yeah, you can wear it with the label. If you have the label on the,
not the label, I'm just
talking about take off.
It's mechobar. Even the label you can wear. If you're not embarrassed, you can wear the label. I once had that shaila.
But if you're embarrassed, it's
like the cleaning tag.
Let's say that the cleaning tag, there's staples. All of these things, as long as it's mechobar, it's attached. It's mutter.
Yeah. But if it's outside and people see it, you're embarrassed.
Are you embarrassed? Many people get lazy, buy a pair of pants, pair of trousers, so there's a label, right? And then you rip off the label. You have a label, and if you get lazy, there'll always be stitches.
Right.
Stitches. Yes, so some people will never take out those stitches because they wear a belt, and the belt covers the stitches. So they'll never take out those stitches. So those stitches, are you allowed to wear it on Shabbos? I'm walking around with some superfluous material. You are allowed to. It's smut because it's mechubar. It's part of the garment.
It's the same thing with the extra button.
Extra buttons stitched inside. The Shabbos label is
also
the same thing.
What? They make sure that.
Well, it depends. Depends where you go for Shabbos testing. Depends where you go. Sometimes they just staple it.
They staple it.
Plastic staples, or they don't even do that. They just take a real stapler. Some places they'll just take a real stapler. But what?
That's economy budget.
Okay, you go to. All right. So begadim ha'asuyim lahachnis bohem mishicha aritzu. Now we talk about this in the point of halacha. Are you allowed to insert a belt? This is very interesting. This is a belt into your garment. Okay, this is more to get women because women's clothing, there are certain skirts. They have belts which are only for this particular garment.
Or if you have a hoodie.
Or if you have a hoodie, you have loops, but
they go around the head, right?
So you have to stick inside the thread. So we can talk about that. But let's talk about a pair of pants and a belt. So most people have more pants than belts. So they basically recycle the belt. If I'm wearing this pair of pants, I'll take the belt that I wore yesterday and I'm going to wear it for this pair of pants. You don't have a separate belt for every pair of pants. So are you allowed to insert a belt into a pair of pants? So definitely, for multiple reasons. Number one, it's loose. A belt inserted into a standard pair of pants is considered loose. It's not considered to be makeh bepatish. It's not considered to be this is an issue. The issue over here is makeh bepatish. You're finishing off the pair of pants by inserting the belt. if you're creating a utensil on Shabbos, the pair of pants are incomplete. I can't wear the pair of pants unless I have a belt to hold up the pair of pants. So I'm completing the production, the manufacture of the pair of pants by inserting the belt. That's ridiculous because the pants are complete and the belt is an additional, it's considered to be an additional ornament toward the pair of pants. Furthermore, it's loose fitting. It's
without a belt.
What?
You can't use the pants without a belt.
You can use it with, but it's not considered to be viewed as part of the pair of pants. It's considered to be something that is distinct. It's true. I can't wear the pants without the belt, but the belt is not part of the pair of pants. There's a pair of pants as a finished product, and then there's a belt. So number one, it's not considered to be part of the pair of pants. Number two, the belt is loose. The few loops that are in the pair of pants is not significant to say that the belt is mechubar. The two are part of one whole. Number three, the most important reason why is because you're not planning on leaving the belt in your pants for more than 24 hours. Hopefully within 24 hours you'll change your pants and you'll be wearing you'll take the belt out of the pair of pants. It's not going to be left there for a long period of time. However, let's say you have a certain belt which only goes with this pair of pants. I have beige. I have a tan pair of pants. Like Obama, he wore this tan suit. It's really cool tan suit, right? This was the buzz of social media. Obama, what's up with that? What's up with the tan suit?
The press secretary had to respond to that.
See, this is America. There are important things in America. You have to know what the president is wearing. Much more important than who's getting beheaded. What?
Beheading.
It's more okay. So you have to the belt only goes with this pair of pants.
There are pair of pants that have belts.
They
used to come with a belt.
Oh, and a chanami. And other times you have an issue where it's very tight. The loops. It's not meant for the pit. It's not meant. This is probably much more true in women's clothing. There are certain types of belts or certain types of bands, whatever they are, which are part of the garment, and they're meant to be permanently attached to this. This belt matches with this pair of pants, and the loops are tight-fitting loops. Then it is much more of an issue. It's not always certain. It's a judgment call of, as we're going to mention now, of how tight the belt fits in the loops, and for how long you want the belt to remain in the garment. Yeah, makabapatish. So this is the issue.
What about cufflinks?
Cufflinks, no, I'm mutter. Cufflinks is not, it's not kesher, it's not a kesher. You're not making a knot. No, it's not. It's not makabapatish.
If you have a shirt that is a double.
It's like a belt. It's the same exact. That's what we're discussing. The only time it's makabapatish is a type of belt that's very tight fitting and it's meant to be there forever. This belt will be associated, will be part of this pair of pants. This is a certain type of belt which goes with this pair of pants, and we're not going to ever take it out. Cufflinks are something which you rotate. You take from shirt to shirt. It's not meant to be part of it, permanently be part of the shirt. You're right. If you would have a certain type of cuffling which is permanently part of their shirt in a chanami, that might be an issue of makeh b'patish. Okay, let's see. Begadim ha'asuyim l'hachnis bohem mishicha. Oy ritzua, some type of cord or a ritzua. Okay, going nichnosayim pants. Oy min olim. We'll discuss shoelaces in a few moments. Are you allowed to insert new shoelaces? It's very complicated. It's not so simple. Oy choluk or a shirt or some type of hoodie. Right, you want to put in like in a coat or a hood. You want to put in im habeged chodosh. If this is a brand new garment, also lachnis lebuchem. You're not allowed to put in for the very first time a tight fitting cord into a hood or into a garment or to put in new shoelaces. You're not allowed to insert new shoelaces into a shoe on Shabbos even an old shoe, because you're repairing the shoe. You're now renewing the shoe with makeh b'patish. And Beriviat, he says you're not allowed to put in a new shoelaces.
So you should be able to take it out also.
That's right. Whatever you can't do, well, Well, no, it's not kosher. It's not kosher. Anything that's mishum kosher is mishum matir. This is makir b'patish. I'm not so sure. I don't think so. There's no such. There's no soitzer by kalim. There's no binyan b'kalim. There's no binyan b'kalim. So makir b'patish, there is b'kalim, but it's not necessarily subay. Let's see what it says. Let's just see what it says over here. Tavi tikun moneh. Okay, this is called tikkun mona, which means it's makir b'patish. That's the way I think the article explains it. Makir b'patish, yeah?
How does it change the shoe?
It's creating the shoe. Right now the shoe is not usable. If I have a shoe and it's missing shoelaces, is the shoe usable? No, it's not usable. By me inserting shoelaces, I have now fashioned a utensil on Shabbos. I've made a utensil.
How about putting in a lining in a trench coat? If it's cold, you want to put in your lining on Shabbos.
It's mutter. Definitely mutter. It's definitely mutter. That's
You wouldn't wear it otherwise.
It's no different than putting a belt on a pair of pants.
It's definitely putting in the lining on a coat or taking off the lining on a coat is definitely mutter. But putting in shoelaces is something which is meant to last. It's meant to be there forever. You don't take out the. I think the way Rabbi had explained it is the shoelace is something which you don't take out forever. It's not even a matter of 24 hours. This is the nature of the shoe. This shoe has shoelaces. If you have a hood and the cord that goes around the hood fell out and you want a thread in the tubing, this is osur. Because this is the tsura of the garment. It has the cord in the tube. It's makir b'patish. Yeah.
So your shoelace breaks on Shabbat.
Yeah.
So what?
So Rabbi Riviat says the shoelace break. You're allowed to take out the old shoelace and reconfigure it.
Okay.
Reconfiguring all the original shoelace that snapped, assuming that there's enough room to work.
Yeah, yeah. Would normally do
enough room to work with the shoelace that it will still work, because that he holds is not considered to be creating something new. I'm just taking the existing material that I have and I'm reconnected
with a knot.
No, reconnected is all. Oh, that's for sure, Asa. That's a kesher shel kayama.
You can skip holes or something.
That's what he means. That's what he means. That's what he says. So you can completely remove it. You can completely remove the old. This is what it says in the book, Rabbi Riviat. The old, the shoelace snaps. You can completely remove it from all of the holes. The old shoelace. And relace and reinsert. Obviously, you're going to reinsert it in a way where you'll have enough to make use of it. But to go into the drawer and take out a brand new shoelace and insert on Shabbos, that he holds you're not allowed to do.
Does he have any study mahal there, or this is a universal?
It's all he says. It's all I saw there. He doesn't say other opinions. He others say he just says.
Goes before me.
What?
Is it great before
Mincha? Mincha Shabbos. Well, if not, then and when? Okay.
So we have a takana here. From now on, when you get dressed, you should get dressed to Erev Shabbos and put in your belt and to Erev Shabbos.
No, belt machen. The belt. Belt, he says, is 100% mutter. The only time he's dealing with this is. It appears like children's outfits. Children's outfits, they have certain they have belts which are permanent.
That's built into the clothing.
Raincoat belts. That might be an issue. You have a raincoat belt because it's not meant to ever take out the belt out of the loops. It's there meant to be permanent and burnt. So if you take out an old, you don't take it out. So in Echnami, that would appear to be more problematic.
Or my tish package.
Oh, I always had that problem.
The same. Those are the people who have. They have to curl their pace before Shabbos. Sorry, those that same. Those people. Only they have the Shiloh. It goes together. Let's read further. Okay, Davi Tigun Manisha B'Yoshan Im Ein Anekev Tzar U'V'Yoshan. If you're dealing with a cord, a shoelace that is old, in ein hanekev tsar shein tarach lachnisay mutter v'im yesh tarach osar. There's something called uvdo dechol. If the shoelace, this is probably, let's say the shoelace is missing. It's really it's an old shoelace. It's missing the tip. It's missing the tip, and you have to wet it, and you have to stick it inside. That already you can't do on Shabbos. That's already uvdo dechol. Uvdo dechol. That's not he holds, and that's also you can get involved in other shaylas of shazira. You're actually making the rope. You actually forget about making the shoelace. You're actually you're fastening the rope by squeezing it together. That can be a mloch of boina of the rope, not even of the shoe itself. So the bottom line is, you're not allowed to. So we do the basic use of riviat. If you have a belt that is tight fitting, there have to be a number of conditions. It's tight fitting and it's meant to be part of this garment permanently, and it's new. It's the first time you're putting it into the garment. It may not be done. If it's an old cord which was part of the garment which came out, you're allowed to reinsert it on Shabbos.
Old shoelaces that you save and you put it into your shoe.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer. You have old shoelaces of another shoe. You want to switch. You want to switch from one shoe to another shoe? I don't know. He only talks about the shoelace itself. The shoelace itself that snapped, and you want to reconfigure it. You want to reconfigure. You want to reconfigure the old shoelace. That is mutter. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. Lepanim ezet panamem test. We mentioned before it's easy. Halacha lepanim ez lepanim ezet tefilim miskalkelas umispardim hachatiches ktsas zemize. Sometimes you have stitching in a garment on a hem or any garment where the stitches are becoming loose, and you want to just take the stitch and pull it, and by pulling it you will tighten the hem, whatever is coming apart. This is stitching. This is not kosher. This is the loch of toifer. It's tefira. Just like you're not allowed to stitch two stitches. You're not allowed to stitch together two different pieces of material on Shabbos. You're not allowed to pull a chut that already has been stitched in order to fasten to be mechazik a pre-existing stitch. Next, niyaros. Maybe we'll do some more of the practical loch tomorrow, but let's do some more basic lochas now. Now you have a book. A book is glued together. Okay, you have a book on Shabbos, and guess what? They're stuck together. So you have to make the following determination. It's not so easy to take. Why are they stuck together? Why are they stuck together? Is it because they were never cut? That could happen sometimes. You have to know. It was never cut to begin with. How then did they print it? What do you mean it was never cut? What? So it was large sheets like this, and they folded and they cut it.
One corner
didn't cut. Osser. In that situation, osser there is a deraisa. That's mechatech. It's a deraisa. It's like taking toilet paper and cutting it on the dotted line. That is mechatech. Cutting something on the perforation is for osser. However, sometimes it's not really colored unless you buy a nice, fancy, gilded machzor. Yeah. And they just put on too much thick. The coating was a little bit too thick. And now it's Rosh Hashanah, and it's the Sanit Taikef. And you turn the page. My life is on the line. The Sanit Taikef. Uh-oh. It's glue. It's glued together. What am I going to do now? It's mutter. If you can determine the reason why it's stuck is because it's the glue was gilded. The glue, the thickness of that gilded stuff on the edge is causing it. You are permitted to separate. The only time you're not allowed to separate something is when it's in an original form. It's in its original form, and now it's being separated for the very first time. And certainly, if you're cutting it on a precise cut, then it's awesome. But if it was once detached, and then it came, it got glued together accidentally because of too much glue, too much ink. So you are separating a food or some dirt or some mud, or let's say because of the environment, the humidity, it was this is mold, and now you're separating something which was before separate, just got stuck together. It is mutter. That is the halacha. Lepanim.
What if you the print though?
What?
I was just saying. What happens?
When doing it.
Right. What happens if food gets on a word?
If you erase, then it's a problem. Then it's mechika. Then it might be an issue of erasing. That would be.
What about an envelope in the mail?
No, that you're not allowed to do.
It was originally open.
That's not Litzach Mitzvah. Okay, there's another condition I have to point out. If it's the Tzorich Mitzvah, you're right. If it's the Tzorich Mitzvah, then there are heterim. You can do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, or Litzorich.
The calendar for the Luach Ezra Stra Luach
Kanem.
There are grounds to be matter. Let's see. Niyaros Shenidbiku Shaloi Bikavana. Shaloi Bikavana. It was accidental. Kimoy Shalapamim Nidbiku Dape Hasfosforim. Machmas Hatseva. Shetzavon haKorech, due to the bind is too much glue. Oish nidbuku eze dafin b'shava with wax mutter l'pasan. Again, be careful. But if it's only the reason why this glue is attached, which is probably more common, is because it was not cut. The machine did not properly cut it. That is the issue. The rest that you don't cut. Okay, let's just see the bottom halach on the bottom. Asum gamkin lahatir. We look at one on the bottom chaf alif. Ayin b'gan Avram. The kesoynesh niskashu hamashichos v'lo yochel lahatiron. A garment where the different cords have been knotted. V'lo yochel lahatir. You can't untie it. Sharil natkan urak shlo yaseh zeh b'fnei amaretz. If you have new clothing, let's say you have socks. Okay, you have socks, and the socks are stitched together. Buy a new pair of socks, and the socks are not labeled. Not the label. You don't have to label the label. You can keep on, and no one's going to see the label on Shabbos. Right? On the suit, they'll see the label, but on the socks, no one's going to see the label. But let's say the two socks are stitched together. The only way you can. So what are you to do? You can't undo the stitches. You're not, but you can cut. You can rip it apart. You are allowed to rip it apart. That's not called the matir. Matir is to take apart a knot. I have a knot, and I take my fingers and I open up the knot. That is matir. Taking the knot and destroying it, destroying the screen, is not matir.
Maybe when you pull it apart, you might make a small hole in the sock.
Right.
So don't be careful. Don't.
It's always going to happen.
Be careful.
No. Making the hole in the sock.
There's no way.
That's what they want. So you have to go buy
another pair of socks. Okay, so this is mutter. Ayin shniskashu hameshichos. If the cords are tied, there's a kesher. You're not allowed to undo the kesher, but you are allowed to destroy the kesher. V'lo yochel hatiron yishori lenatkan. You can do it. Rak shloyaseke zebifnei amoretz. Don't let people get the wrong idea. A person who is ignorant of halacha, if they're going to see you do this, they'll think, "Wow, if you can do that on Shabbos, I can turn on the television also on Shabbos." So don't give anyone any ideas. Okay. V'davka in darkan lahatin biyomo. That's davka in a situation where people only do this. I don't know. You do it when it's fresh. You do this at the time when you wear the garment for the very first time. Avolim in a regular lahatir rak mishabbos to Shabbos also ayin shab. But if you only do it occasionally, then I'm not exactly sure. I think what he means over here is that if you could have done it before Shabbos, if you had the opportunity to do it before Shabbos, then you should appear in advance. It's only a situation where you don't have that opportunity. It has to be done. The way the situation is, it has to be done b'shas mais when you put on the garment, and you'll first get the garment on Shabbos, then you can destroy it. I'm Mishnah Berurah the im darkoi lasos aniva v'loi kavana nikshar dinay ki kesher sh'asu lahatir b'chol yom. And this is a very important halacha. We've yet discussed this. What happens if you tie your shoelaces? A simple case: you tie your shoes in a regular way, and then guess what? When you come home from shul, it's a knot. How did that happen? How did that happen? I tied a single knot, and then I tied a bow. I come home from shul. I want to undo my shoelaces, and look at that.
Sometimes you pull the wrong string.
Yeah.
But what happened? So now, what am I now allowed to take off my shoes? I can't. The only way I can take off my shoes is by undoing the knot. It's matir. It's a melacha d'oraisa. Just like you're not allowed to do kosher, you're not allowed to do matir. So it's mutter. A knot that was not made lechatchila, that it should be a kesher, shel kayama, is not in the category of matir. It's a very important yisod. Matir was only when the knot was made lechatchila that it should have been a kesher, shel kayama. A knot that was not intended to be a kesher, shel kayama, which turned into a kesher, shel kayama, is not subject to the prohibition of matir.
But what if you put on your shoes
you did it the wrong way.
And then a double bow because it was Erev Shabbos, so you were allowed to do it.
Right.
And then you come on Friday night, you can't take off your shoes.
You have to sleep with your shoes.
You come on Friday night, you have a double bow. You have double on top of the single knot. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. Dem darko lasas aniva v'loy kavana nikshar dinay pekesher shalsi lahatir b'chol yom v'chein kasta b'chayadam. Okay, he actually discusses that in matir. So believe that we'll do matir, more matir, hopefully tomorrow. Okay, let's stop here. Okay, enjoy.
Print out that article. Maybe I'll go back and take the whole article because it's a whole big.
It's very hard. I started reading it. It's very dense.
Because it's talking technical terms about
all these funny, old funny letters. No, even the letters. These Latin letters.
There's the Arabic. He says, and it's hard to translate what this Arabic means. He says other yoimis they're using.
Yeah.
So it looks like the Pizmoinim started in
Arabic.
Started in Spain. How did it get to Tayman?
Yeah.
Tayman has loads of Pizmoinim. And he says somewhere late in the article that the Sephardim dropped the Pizmoinim.
They dropped the Pizmoinim?
They dropped most of them. And Ashkenaz today has more than Sephard.
Now. Even though they had originally more.
Right. The original Makar is Sephard. Okay. They came before. Very interesting.
Tomorrow's going to be a fun surgery.
Tomorrow's
going to be cans.
Opening cans. So when are you going back to teach?
Ironically, tomorrow we have orientation from 10 to 12.
10 to 12.
And I want to go back. My son sent me an email because of noise. Somebody from Qatar, name was Goldstein, ordered of Bayar Moshe from Zundel Burma. Someone emailed the invoice. Bayar Moshe. Even in Qatar,
who knows? It might not be a good thing. It might be some, who knows?
It wasn't the Arabic edition. They charged $10 for the safer. And 48 to ship.
How much? 48?
The
shipping to Qatar. $48. They make all the money on the shipping. Everything is a kunz. Everything is a kunz. Shipping is the biggest fraud.
What are you?
comedians.
I'm trying to tell them. And what about why they claim this degra? Why but no more shaver or shaman? They told Mazrin Titus, who had the bug crept into his
30 days. Yeah, it should be a chazaka.
After 30 days, it stopped.
Stopped.
Had no more ration.
Chazaka.
Zuk the zelmazamuto. 30 days in Boshev, so you take a break, come out of the horror, then in Boshev on Shabbos. Coffee time.
I asked him a few couple of days.
Yeah.
Friday will be here? Friday will be here?
I know.
You take pictures? Yeah, take with the
it works.
Avada. Okay. Premature. Okay.
It works.
We're going to have a guest speaker.
Oh, sure.
Someone other besides him. Besides him. Surprise. 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 Get a good picture of the guest speaker.
Guest list, okay. Let's get the spellings right for the site.
Okay, Rabbi Sai.